Can you hear me up there? Okay, we'll start. Municipal Judge David Hostetler in Coshocton, Ohio. He is well known for the rather unusual punishment for the criminals, first-time offenders, that is. One time he ordered a man to run around the block every other day around the block of the local jail. Why? Because he tried to run away from the police after his fender bender accident. He is, as I said, he's well known for this kind of unusual punishment for the first-time offenders, tried to keep them out of the overcrowded jail. He got the nationwide attention in 2001 because he ordered two men to dress up like a woman with their beard and mustache and walking down the main street of that city because they threw the beer bottle at the woman passing by and taunt her. So that is a punishment. In my opinion, that his judgment is rather humorous and good, in my opinion. However, we hear some of the judges making a decision, court decision coming down from the American judiciary branch as more to the pathetic and stupid. Especially in Ninth Circuit Court, there's famous for standing in the liberal section. And these people will do just about anything to go against the truth of the God's principle. Now, these people, we wonder if they are thinking. They are not thinking, obviously. However, praise God, our Father in heaven does not do that kind of thing. His judgment is always fair and firm and always good for us. Amen. All decision he's making is final. And nobody can challenge and nobody can say boo to him. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. We are asking your guidance. And let us do the things that you want us to do. And let us see the things the way you want us to see. Help us to understand not everything is at the present moment. You see the bigger picture. Heavenly Father, we also lift up our troops around the world. We are asking your hand to be upon them. Keep them safe and protect them during this difficult time, especially holiday seasons. And those law enforcement agents who are around our community, we are asking your hand to be upon them also and keep them safe. And show us if there is anything we can do for them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 16, Revelation. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. Some Bible students believe that this is not literal interpretation. It should be made as allegorical interpretation. So they're saying that this is not real bloody water, bloody sea, or the literal earthquake. If you start making everything allegorical in the Revelation, you cannot understand this revelation correctly. Verse 2. So first went and poured his bowl upon the earth, and underlined next few words, a foul and loathsome sore came upon the man who had a mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Initially, when the people received the mark of the beast, this is during the tribulation time. Seems like it was a very wise thing to do. And also it is sophisticated technologically sophisticated. And it's a cool thing to do. Having the mark of the beast has all your information in the back of your palm, back of your hand, it seems like nice. Seems like instead of carrying the credit card, it can be stolen. Or the check can be forged, or cash can be lost. Instead of that, just waving your hands, and you can buy and sell all the transactions, and you are entering into new economic era. However, there's a problem. In my opinion, the mark of beast is this one. In chapter 13, we found out that when we studied, United States FDA approved this very chip. This one is developed by Applied Digital Solution in Florida. It's not some fly-by-night company. It's a legitimate company. They have a stock in New York Stock Exchange. They developed this microchips. Do you see that? It looks like a big thing, but it's a penny, about that big. In other words, microchips is not much bigger than a grain of rice. That can be inside the back of your hand or on your forehead, according to this Bible. Now, this spirit chip is developed, and it contains all the medical history and more. Also, it can be connected with the satellite, so they can know exactly where you are. And it can be generated with the battery, with the biomechanical electricity developed by a human being's body, and it will go on. And I also explained to you, and one of the scientists who developed this is very cheap, was asked, what happens if that lithium battery gets leaked in the human body? And he said, well, that person will have a sore or boil. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in the last edge. We are literally living in the last age, and time is very near. God mentioned this loathsome and foul sore in chapter 16 of Revelation, over 2,000 years ago. So those who worshiped the beast and wanted to receive the mark of the beast, now they are marked by God with a loathsome and foul sore. Let's continue in verse 3. And the second angel poured his bowl on the sea, and it became a blood as the dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. When the second trumpet went on in chapter 8 of the book of Revelation, we're finding out that one-third of the sea was contaminated with the blood, and a lot of sea creatures died. However, this time, the entire sea was contaminated with the blood. You may say, well, that's a lot of blood. Where is blood coming from? I don't know. That's God's thing. Do you think God can make the seawater turn into blood? You can bet your life on that thing. And because it's turning into blood and all the sea creatures dying and floating on top of the water, can you imagine all the rotten sea creatures is dying and the smell? So there won't be any more sushi. Verse 4. Then third angel poured out his bowl in the river and the spring of the water, and they become blood. I heard the angel of the water saying, that you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was, who is to be, because you judged these things. Excuse me. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophet, and you have given them blood to drink. For it is their just due. I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. As hard as it is to imagine, every stream, every river, and every lake will turn into blood. What about the faucet? That will also turn into blood. Because the water coming from these streams. And someone will say, well, what about those drinking water bottles that we have here or we hand out here? I don't think that there will be any water that is fresh. All the water will turn into blood. Again, in chapter 8, verse 10 through 11, one-third of the spring water, one-third of the river water will turn into blood. However, this time, every single river, every single stream turning into blood. So you open up the faucet, the blood coming out. You flush the toilet, guess what's filling up again? Blood. That would be a nasty situation. In my opinion, nothing quenches my thirst better than the fresh, cool water. And these people no longer get to have that kind of pleasure. These people didn't mind shedding the blood of the saint, those who believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Now they are drinking the blood. They refuse the living water, Jesus Christ. Now they are drinking the water of death. Not only God's justice is fair, and also is pure and accurate and appropriate. And he doesn't come up with the vigilante justice. Let me put it this way. In God's government, the punishment fits the crime. When the Pharaoh tried to kill, and he killed many Jewish baby boys, what God did? He drowned the entire army of Egyptians. When Haman tried to kill the Mordecai and exterminate the Jewish people, what happened to him? He is the one who hung on the gallows, and his family was exterminated. And also, when the King Saul was told, slay the entire Amalekite, and he disobeyed, what happened? He got killed by Amalekite. If we don't do the things that God tells us to do, there will be consequences. There will be punishment. You might say, well, I'm born again. Yes, we are born again, but there are still consequences. In our times of trials and tests, sometimes we have a tendency to ask God if this is fair. Ladies and gentlemen, as I said before, God's judgment is always fair and pure and appropriate. But the altar, the place of sacrifice, the cross speaks the opposite way and against our tendency to think that if it's fair or not. And if you don't see, let me put it this way, your life will go from one end to another end. The one moment you sing and praise to God in this church sanctuary, next moment you will curse His name because of what's going on in your home and workplace. God demonstrated His love for us while we're still yet sinners, and He died for us. And His judgment is always fair. How can we dare to ask Him that if judgment is fair? We have a tendency to ask that kind of thing. And how do we know that what we deserve? Do you know what we deserve? We deserve hell without Jesus Christ. Bottom line. But yet, by His grace, by His mercy, by His love, He extends all of those to us that we might be saved through Jesus Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 32, please. Romans 8, 32. Some of you are thinking, honey, you turn. I don't want to turn the pages. No, you turn too. 8:32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? See, God loves us enough to give us, to hang His Son on the cross, to pay our debt that we could not pay. I know He does everything He does in my life. I may not understand from now, but it is good for me. Trusting His sovereignty, trusting His faithfulness. If we don't have that, I can pretty much tell you we are not mature in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, please. The fourth angel poured his bowl on the sun, and the power was given to him to scorch the man with the fire. And the man was scorched with a great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give Him glory. How many of you guys have been in the Tucson, sorry, the Green Valley in less than 2 months? Okay, 3 months? Never been in summertime? Good, you have something coming up. In Tucson, they have a contest. They fry the eggs on top of the car hood. The car is not heated. It's heated by the sun. A lot of times we think of Tucson and the Sarita and Green Valley, summer is hot. During this time, that would make it look like a refrigerator. In my opinion, earthly life completely depends on the sun. With the fourth trumpet judgment, one-third of the sun was kind of dimmed out, and the people were affected by it. This time, it's a reverse action. It's going into full-blown scorching style. Now, remember, water system has gone down the drain. There is no sea other than bloody water. And you turn the faucet on, there is blood coming out. And it's all of a sudden, you have a scorching sun. Can you imagine thirst? The man tried to turn their back on the Son of God who gave his life for them to save them. So now they're in the punishment. They're having burning sun, S-U-N, on them. Verse 10, the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. And they blasphemed God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. Exodus 10:21-22, we find the ninth plague in Egypt is the same kind of thing, in literal darkness. Now, let's remember, fifth bowl, we see the preview of hell. Remember Matthew chapter 25:30, Jesus said that you will be cast out into outer darkness. Let's go to the Matthew 25, please. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Matthew 25, verse 30. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, that's the literal hell, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus speaking about this hell is outer darkness. There will be a complete darkness. That's not the, by the way, for those who visit your home on Saturday morning, and Jehovah's Witness Mormon says there's no literal hell. Ladies and gentlemen, there is hell. Jesus talked about hell more than heaven itself. And in hell, there will be a pain, there will be agony, never quenching, never stopping hell. And worst of all is utter isolation from God himself. Amen. Here we have God, but in hell, you will not have God if you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. In this horrible situation with a burning sore on the back of their hands or their forehead because of the mark of the beast, and the bloody sea, stinking sea, and blood coming out of the faucet, and scorching sun, and the darkness around them, still they are not repenting. Let me put it this way. Judgment may produce carnal remorse. And the iron, let me put it this way. Iron, if you put it in a different mold, it will come up with a different shape, but it will not turn into gold. What am I talking about? We have, and down at the Wilmot area, there's a prison. Actually, Al and I, that's where I used to go in and out. We've been in and out of prison for a few years. How many years? You guys are thinking, what happened to those two? No, we were doing ministries. While we were ministering at the prison, I've never seen a whole lot of people become truly changed people. 85% of the prison inmates coming back to their prison. We said correctional facility, but it is not truly correctional facility. Actually, the inmates get worse while they're inside. Do you know who changed their life? Jesus Christ. Once they receive Jesus Christ into their heart, truly born again, they stay in the course. They will not go back to the prison again. How do I know? Because I witnessed in 12 years of ministry. This kind of judgment system will not change the people's mind. However, goodness of God brings people to repentance. And however, these people already shut off the Jesus Christ in them, from their minds, so they are not turning back. Verse 12. Then six angels pour out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of a dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of a false prophet. for their spirits of demons are performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world, and to gather them to the battle, the great day of the God Almighty. Underline, great day of God Almighty, please. Behold, I'm coming as a thief, and blessed is he who watches and keeps his garment, and lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And they gather them together to the place called in Hebrew, Armageddon. Romans consider Euphrates River as the secure barrier protecting them from this eastern empires. It's about 1,800 miles long and about 300 to 1,200 yards wide. Euphrates is dry. If they get dried up, it becomes a big road, gigantic road for the eastern army to march down there. Like China has a big number, India, Japan, and Korea. I think they will have some sort of identification problem because they all look alike. And this, why this army is coming from the east? Are they trying to attack the Antichrist? No, they are not trying to attack the Antichrist. They're coming together up together, nation plus nations, against God. We find in chapter 2 of Psalm, please. Psalm chapter 2. If you're not familiar with the Calvary Chapel, and you're wondering why these people turning Bible from page to page, that's how we do. That's how we study the Word of God. Chapter 2 of Psalm. Verse 1. Why do nations rage and the people plot in vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take a counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his displeasure. Yet I have set my king over on my holy hill of Zion. The ancient Jewish people despised and repulsed against this frog. However, the frog was a kind of goddess to the Egyptian people. The word Armageddon is coming from the Hebrew, and actually it's two Hebrew words, Har Megiddo. H-A-R is standing for hill. And Megiddo meaning is the hill, a place of troop or a place of slaughter. Do we have a picture? That's great. This picture is taken from the Mount Carmel and looking down here. It's a 14 mile long and 20 mile wide. It's a gigantic open field. Napoleon said once when he saw this place, he said it's the most natural battlefield in the whole world, whole earth. This would be the final battlefield of mankind against God, exception before the millennium time. This is place is located about 60, God bless you, located 60 miles north of Jerusalem, and it is that place is known for the battlefield. Gideon and the 300 people fought against the Midianites in the battle of the Valley of Jezreel. And Samson made one of the key battle against the Philistine. And King Josiah died here. And also Deborah and Barak defeat the sisters in this valley. The battle is not against, as I said, against nation, but it's against nation against God. There will be three battles that will be recorded in the end time eschatology. Would you post that, please? The battle of Gog Magog will be seen from Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39, and battle of Armageddon that we are going to witness in chapter 19. And it was listed in chapter 17 also. And third battle will be the battle against God, and he's Satan who just come out from the pit with his allies. There will be three battles to be seen. No matter what they do, the winner is clear. I should underline, it's the great day of the Lord. That means God's going to win no matter what. It's not a great day of Satan. It's not a great day of Antichrist. It's not a great day of the nations. But it's a great day of the Lord. Verse 17 of chapter 16 in Revelation, please. The seventh angel pour out his bowl into the air. Underline, pour out his bowl into the air, please. And a loud voice came out of the temple of the heaven. And from the throne, and saying, and it is done. And there were noises and the thundering and the lightning. There was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake was, as had not occurred since man was on the earth. It means that that's the biggest one. Now the great city is divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and the great Babylon is remembered before God. To give her the cup of wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountain were not found. And the great hail from heaven fell upon man, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Underline a talent, please. Man blaspheming God because of the plague of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. The announcement, it is done, coming from the throne itself. It is not from the man, it is the throne itself. And there won't be any more delay. In his mercy, he's been pushing this until the last moment so that many people can be saved. Let me put it this way. If God came 5 years ago, how many people wouldn't go to heaven? Any of you guys been saved the last 5 years ago? 5 years? How about 10 years? Okay, how about 15 years? All right. That means if he came 15 years ago, some of you would go to hell. 17 years ago, he extended his mercy to me. So I became a Christian. He extends his mercy as long as he can. But there's a time limit. His patience has a time limit. The fact that bowl was poured into the air. Remember chapter 2 of Ephesians says, Satan is the prince of the power of the air and his allies. So that's why he's punishing these demonic forces. Great earthquake was followed by this great hail. Let me put it this way. One talent is equivalent to about 100 pounds. Where would you go if you are living on this earth during the tribulation time, end of tribulation time, and the hailstorm is coming down from the heaven, 100 pounds per each? Where would you dodge? Can you imagine the velocity? If one hailstone hit the semi-truck, 18-wheelers, it will crush like a paper cutout truck. There won't be anything left over. What was the Old Testament says about the punishment for blasphemy against God? Remember? What did they do? Stone them. This is the punishment to those who blaspheme God. Hailstone coming down from the heaven, 100 pounds each size. Now it comes down to the two places. I think about the Megiddo. I think about Calvary. Both deal with the wrath of God against two group of people. One is a group of people in the Megiddo. He poured out his wrath of God upon them. And also he poured out his wrath upon his own son on the Calvary. Both places reminds me of the rebellion of man against God. They blaspheme God in the Megiddo, and they blaspheme the Son of God on the Calvary. Both places reminds me of the bloodbath. Bloodbath, and the blood went up to the horse's manes in the Megiddo. But bloodbath came out from the Son of veins on the Calvary. Both places remind me of completion. From the heaven in Megiddo, he said, it is done. But the Son of Man said, it is finished on the cross, on Calvary. Let's make one application. We must remember that anything God does for us, good for us, and right for us, and more than fair for us, fair to us. There is no doubt. God knows all things. Ladies and gentlemen, let me put it this way. We only see what we see in the present moment, not the future. We cannot do anything about the past. However, He sees the entire picture. Father knows best. Let's stand up and pray.